All right. Well, we will get ready to roll, and there is a lot to talk about today. I hope that you'll find this interesting, certainly thought-provoking, and perhaps even a little bit angering, because we do have a lot to talk about. So I'll say good morning, folks. Boker Tov, Shabbat Shalom. Welcome back. And we have probably sitting in front of us here, in a lot of respects, not only one of the most important and central Torah portions in the book. Remember, the book of Deuteronomy is kind of a second telling. It's Moses' farewell address. But Shoftim, and the word literally means judges, plural. And the first verse, of course, is in Deuteronomy 16:18, Shoftim and other officers, you shall create or make or put in place in all your gates. So this was a command that Moshe was laying out for them as they got ready to enter the land. But there is so much more in here. It is it's not quite a catch-all, but it is, in one way or another, a summary of some of the most important central elements in all of Torah. And let me say it this way, because I'm going to, as I step back, I say there are so many different themes in here. Shoftim, put away the evil from among you. There's a reference to a prophet like unto Moshe. There are, justice, justice you shall pursue, probably one of my favorite verses in Scripture. All of these things in this one Torah portion. So you look at it and you say, well, wow, what is the central theme? And the truth is, it looks like it is a whole bunch of different themes, and yet somehow or other they are all absolutely positively related, right? They're really the same theme. You could say that, I guess maybe the simplest way I could summarize it is Ani Yahuwa. I am Yod Hei Vaveh. Everything else follows from that. That is the way a late rabbi friend of mine once said you could summarize the Ten Commandments. Just put a period after the first of the Ten Commandments there. Anoki Yahuwa. I am. That's who I am. You didn't do it. I did it. It's me. And everything else follows from that. Why are we to create real judges, not the kind of fake ones that put on black robes and then preach in the name of Satan like we have today, and basically put their hand on a Bible and know damn well they are lying and they are criminals and they are traitors and the truth is not in them? Ooh! Yeah, let's just take off the gloves, folks, because it's time to be honest. And when we step back and when we look at this particular one and we see so many commandments that are so central to how to build a just society, justice, justice you shall pursue, and how every single one of the things in here, and I'm going to put this as kindly as I can, has been gang-raped by the abominations in black robes and by the traitors who put their hand on a Bible and lie, and by the sons of Hades. How's that for being kind? Who basically pretend to be politicians and lawyers and DAs appointed by Soros and money printers and you name it, folks. We have an abomination literally masquerading as government, half for quite a while here. But large measure, if we look at the central themes and ask ourselves, what is going on here? What failed? Every single thing that we're going to talk about points right smack square at this Torah portion, starting with judges and officers you shall create, put in place, justice, justice you shall pursue, you shall not have any other gods before me. Well, that's actually listed earlier, but it's certainly reiterated in several different ways here. Put away the evil from among you. When you fail to do that, we can see, we saw it this week, what you get. Let me note right off the top in this Torah portion, it says this. And by the way, when I say black robe priests of Satan, this is what I'm talking about. If there's found in the midst of you, within any of your gates, which Yahuwah is going to give you, a man or a woman that does that which is evil in the sight of Yahuwah, trespassing against his covenant, transgressing his word, basically calling evil good and good evil, and essentially doing what they do and what they teach in the public schools now. And what they essentially say you have to accept if you want a TV show, or if you want to be on CNN, or if you want to be a high-ranking administration official, well, at least in the regime where they ignored elections and put senile dudes in positions of power and pulled puppet strings. Somebody, in other words, who has, and I'm quoting now, gone and served other gods and worshipped them. Well, if you find this out, we did, didn't we? Don't we know that now? And you hear about it, then inquire diligently and see, oh yeah, behold, if it's true, the thing is made certain, this abomination really is being wrought. Oh, wait a minute, here's the rub. We were kicked out of Israel because we failed to do this. Yeah, there we are, no longer in the place where these things apply. Does that mean they don't apply at all? Does it mean his instructions done away with it, or does it just mean we don't deserve to live in a place where his word is paramount, and what we end up with is a place where, as he also told us, you'll go and serve other gods, fakes? Well, that's where we are. But what was supposed to happen is that this man or this woman who has done this evil thing, stone them with stones so that they die. Takes two or three witnesses, it tells us, because this is serious. This is something deserving of a death penalty. On the mouth, a testimony of one witness, you don't put anybody to death, but it takes two or three witnesses. And then it says, here is this word, I've already mentioned it before, so you shall put away the evil from the midst of you. Again, Israel failed. There was a split. Israel started worshiping other gods. You can read Kings and Chronicles and see the history. We can see that it also happened in the southern kingdom, in Judah. They were both whoring wives, both kingdoms, the two sticks of Ezekiel, right? Lots of different ways to put it, but every single one of them, they were kicked out, they were shellacked, they were exiled for cause, and we're still in that exile. But the word, the commandment, the intent, the instruction still applies. According to the Torah which they shall teach you, according to the judgment which they shall tell you, these righteous judges, the ones who know his word, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Don't move, don't drift, don't veer to the right hand or to the left. And if somebody does presumptuously, doesn't hearken to the Kohen, to the real judges, well, that person shall die. And here it is again. Thus you shall exterminate. Really, it's the same sentence, but put away, exterminate. I like that terminology better. It's a little bit more blunt, isn't it? The evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear, and don't do that thing anymore. Don't do presumptuously anymore. All right, well, so there's kind of the intro. Now, admittedly, when we go through the Torah portion, and I always read it on a Friday night, we read that. I emphasized a number of these concepts because they all fit together here. Then in the Come Out of Her, My People show, which I played just before we did the Midrash here today, and I usually wait till later, but I wanted to make sure I had that out on the table first. I spent some time talking about the specifics, and in particular this latest example of what happens when you have abominations from the pit of hell, things that he calls abomination in no uncertain terms, that are unleashed, that are taught in the public cesspools. And you got this thing that thinks it's a woman that says, oh, well, what I'm going to do is go kill a bunch of innocent kids. What was the reaction of the press and the so-called police chief in Sin Central there in Minneapolis? To deny the truth, pretend that it didn't exist? Oh, yeah, this guy must hate blacks and Jews. He sounds like a white supremacist. Damn you, you lying son of a bitch masquerading as a police officer. No. He was a transgender. You didn't even mention that. He was an abomination, and he doesn't just hate blacks and Jews. He probably hates anything that breathes. That's part of the problem. But nope, you're not going to be allowed, and there is part of the solution, to continue to lie about the root problem. Now, you notice I use that terminology, the root problem, and I've had that discussion with folks over the last few days. What is the root problem? There's a famous line from Henry David Thoreau. I was reminded it was Walden Pond, on Walden Pond. And he says, essentially, for every man that's striking at the root, you got who knows how many, tens, hundreds, thousands that are basically chopping at the branches. Problem is the root. Now, I've already mentioned in this one Torah portion, there seem to be so many different themes, right? The idea of put away the evil from among you. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. We haven't even talked about it much yet, but it's certainly part of it. The prophet, like unto Moshe, who is going to teach his word, says, Yah, and through Moshe, the word that would be put in his mouth. Why? I will contend because the one that came was the Torah made flesh. Well, that is another theme. You're supposed to listen to him. So, is there a central theme? Is there a root here that needs to be struck at? And as I've kind of outlined, and I talked about it in the Come Out of My People show, which I called On Hating Women, or Why It Is That Society, Based on Feminism, Hates Women. That seems to be at part of the root. A lot of folks will say, well, that's one of the basic causes. You undermine literally Genesis 1, male and female, he created them. You destroy the family itself, the idea of male headship, of patriarchy. Uh-oh, there's another bad word. That's politically incorrect. That's part of what has been destroyed. Can't have male headship if we're going to have transgender abominations running around and killing little boys and girls, can we? So, you know, what is the real root? Is it feminism? Is it his word that's been turned on its head? Is it the fact that we don't even understand what the difference between his law and instruction is anymore? Is it paganism? Or is it all of the above? Because ultimately, one way or another, all of these are symptoms. They're not quite any of them the root itself. The root is we have a society that hates him. Period. It really is that simple. It just plain hates Yod He Vav He. Hell, they don't even know his name anymore in most of the whore churches. They don't know his son's name either. Does it matter? They don't know his character because they don't know his name. They don't know what the salvation of Yah is because they don't know what it was that he was coming to teach because they don't teach it anymore. They don't allow it. Not in the public cesspools, not in Sun God Day school. They changed that too. How much of this are we going to... the problem gets to be we have come so far, having been kicked out of the land for this transgression, having failed to put away the evil from among you, we don't even remember how we got here, what we're doing here, or what the heck is wrong and how we need to get back. Can't even recognize the root anymore. Again, is it feminism? Well, feminism is a really interesting case in point of at least a big part of the story. And let me illustrate what I've kind of laid out and part of what the Come Out of Her My People show was laying out by way of a reintroduction there. We had this idea of feminism and egalitarianism, right? The Bible says male and female, he created them. Says there are roles for men and women. Says there's a beautiful point to being a woman. She can bear children. She is nurturing. She is made by Yah to fulfill the function to which she was built. She's to be a helper, a helpmeet suitable for him, Adam, the man. Nothing wrong with that. Oh, no, if you don't think that they're equal, well, I'll tell you what, anybody who thinks men and women are equal is an idiot. I can walk into any place and look at a naked woman and a naked man. I can tell you immediately there's a difference. Can you? There's a functional difference, a biological difference. See, that too is being denied. We live in a society that thinks people are so stupid, they can't even tell the obvious. I mean, let me do a quick story here. I saw this one. This just irritates me, and it irritates other folks too. But it was Scott Jennings triggered a panel of criminally negligent so-called news idiots on TV. This, again, the Criminally Negligent Network. And he pointed out that there was a scumbag idiot guy named Dr. Dmitry Dashkalakis, who quit in protest when they fired this other idiot, the director of the CDC, named Susan Menares, because she basically wouldn't sign up for RFK Jr.'s policy. She continues to want to kill people with the Zyklon B injections and all the other idiocy masquerading as science. And so he said the following. Listen to this. This is, again, part and parcel of this bigger theme. I am unable to serve. Well, wait a minute. He could have stopped right there. The guy never served anything. He was sucking at the public teat, lying and killing people. And if you think that what we saw over the last 5 years with the buildup to the Zyklon B injections and all of the crap that was bogus science wasn't killing people, you haven't been paying attention. Anyway, he said, I'm unable to serve in an environment that treats CDC as a tool to generate policies and materials that do not reflect scientific reality. What a hubris-filled moron. Scientific reality. The scientific reality is they developed a bioweapon to kill as many people as they could possibly get away with. Myocarditis, pericarditis, turbo cancers, strokes, clots, you name it. Destroying the immune system, destroying the ability of males and females, but particularly females, to reproduce. Stillborn children, you name it. What a lying sack of shit, folks. I'll say it from hell. Things that are designed to hurt rather than improve the public's health. He improved the public's health by signing up for policies that were intended to kill millions, and either he was an absolute moron, or I think the truth of the matter is he knew damn well what he was doing. He is he's a co-conspirator in mass genocide. But here's the line that so set off the panel on the Criminally Negligent Network. He said, this recent change in the adult and children's immunization schedule, in other words, where they basically, and if you didn't hear it, yesterday RFK Jr. got rid of the emergency use authorization that had enabled them to circumvent all the laws and mass inject people and even try to mandate this thing. Anyway, this threatens the lives of the youngest Americans and pregnant people. Say what? Is this so-called doctor so stupid that he doesn't even recognize that only women can get pregnant? That's because male and female, he created them. So what happened was on CNN, Scott Jennings, who's their token conservative, pointed this out. Oh, and you should have heard the woke hissy fit that followed. Ah! You couldn't hear him get a word in edgewise because they were screaming like stuck piglets. And basically, how dare you even suggest such a thing? Is that what you think's important? And what he said correctly was, well, look, if you tell me that a man can get pregnant, you have zero credibility with me in anything that has to do with health. And I'm thinking, that's just kind of an understatement. But he said, once again, I find myself being screamed at, by the hissing hussies for taking the top side of a 97-3 issue. In other words, very, very few people are so idiotic they can't see that. But it's part and parcel of where we're at, okay? So that was a relatively long digression. The point is, you got people today that cannot even recognize a simple biological fact. Male and female, he created them. That's how the Bible puts it. Men can't have babies. Is that a real shocker? And yet that is the kind of thing that utterly infuriates the nutcases in so many of these so-called TV news programs. This is not news, folks. These people are, and I keep calling them morons and idiots in terms that impugn their lack of intelligence. No, I honestly don't think they're that stupid. I think they're damnably evil. These are screaming demons that are literally exactly the kind of thing, come to think of it, that we were warned about here. If you hear and you inquire diligently, and behold, if this thing is true, that such abominations are being wrought, that person, that one who has done this evil thing, worshiping other gods, is that really what's going on here? You betcha. That's precisely what I'm going to contend. These people are worshiping other gods. They hate the God that said male and female, he created them. They say he made a mistake all the time. Hell, we fix it in the public cesspools. He puts a little girl in a boy's body, so we got to chop that penis off. And when that little boy, he does it. This is nothing short of satanic. Let's just admit it. The whole point of this story, of this Torah portion, is there is one God. He wrote the instruction for us. Judges are supposed to rule rightly. Justice, justice you shall pursue. And we have all kinds of things, people. Well, and matter of fact, it gets pretty blunt in this Torah portion as well about what you're supposed to do in the land in order to put away the evil from among you. Basically, expunge this. Expunge it. Did we see it expunged on CNN? Hell no. They didn't even let this guy get a word in edgewise. All right, part of the reason why I contend we were kicked out, and what we need to do is come out of her and be separate. Because we are not in the land anymore. The land was supposed to be clean. The point of going in and taking the land and expunging this idolatry and literally eliminating all of these various tribes, right? The Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the others that are listed there. Every single one of them expunged the bloodline was to put away the evil from among you. They failed. As a result, exactly what he said would happen would happen. Those abominations persisted. They taught the children of Israel, north and south, after the split, to do those things. Hell, they weren't even as bad as what we're seeing today, if you think about it. I mean, literally, we've gone beyond. I think most of the things that happened, oh yeah, they did child sacrifice there too, just like we see in any large cesspool city today with child sacrifice, post-birth as well as pre. Passing children through the fire to Molech. We got different names for it, but it's the same damned thing. We have reached a place where most of the stuff that we can see in Scripture, at least, looks kind of tame by comparison to the crap that's being taught on CNN and in the public cesspools in literally every large cesspool city. And they almost got their way, folks. They were trying to do it everywhere, cram it down people's throats. They were taking children away from parents who knew better than to allow their children to be taught this kind of crap. This is exactly what we were warned about. This is exactly what we were told would happen, and indeed it has happened. So here we are. Where I was headed in all of that was that it is it is perhaps, and I can understand this, a little difficult to say what is the precise root that we're talking about here that we need to expunge. And I tried to simplify it to the point where literally he tells us, you shall have no other Elohim before me. You have these fake gods. Destroy their ashram. Destroy their high places. Don't let them interbreed with you. When it comes to those people groups that he's named, that I will contend, literally their DNA was destroyed. It was tainted. And they were beyond redemption as a result. Expunge them. Thus you shall put away the evil from among you. And he says it over and over again, not just in this Torah portion, but in the next. And we see all kinds of aspects of it. I mentioned the one about feminism and destroying his word and hating his word, hating his instruction, the paganism that is reflected in all of that. Feminism is, and this is where I started to go, and then we got that little interruption there. But one of the issues with feminism is kind of interesting. Feminism has led directly to a whole bunch of evil. And I know and respect a lot of folks that say you can point to so many ills in society that directly result from this idea of egalitarianism. Denying that male and female, he created them. It's destroying marriage. It's destroying the family. It's destroying the ability of women to nurture. Trying to turn them into men. And trying to turn men into women. And then you read Isaiah 3, and I spent some time talking about that during the Come Out of Her My People show. Women and children, babes, shall rule over you. This is a problem. And that's what we've got. Where does it lead? Well, it leads to another thing which is forbidden. At least five times, probably more than that, if you are able to read between the lines, in Scripture, a man lying with a man is with a woman. Sodomy is one way to put it, but essentially there are other aspects to it. LGBTQ. How about transgenderism? See, it's not enough that we have feminism leading to a hatred of women, which is literally what it is, because the Creator says, I'm going to put all these things in place, like Numbers chapter 30. A husband is supposed to protect and cover his daughters while they're in his home. And then his wives, he is supposed to essentially have authority over their vows. So that if they say something in error, the husband literally has the authority to cast it down. To say that, no, that won't stand. And the Bible says Yah will forgive her for that. Man doesn't have that kind of protection. So I will contend it's proof that, Elohim loves women more than men. He gives them an extra layer of protection. And just so I'm clear, that may or may not be tongue-in-cheek. But feminism doesn't do that. Feminism says we don't want that. Hell, we don't even want to be women anymore. We want to be men without penises. And we want to do all these other things. And ultimately, what does it lead to? Well, yeah, not just so-called sodomy and a man lying with a man as with a woman. It's not gay in the least. I despise the word. It took a perfectly good word and turned it into yet another abomination. It leads to transgenderism, and then what are we seeing? How many of the last bunch of school shootings in the gun-free killing zones have been transgender insane asylum cases? All right, I've got a piece here that I set aside from Brandon Smith, who essentially says, hey, it's time to talk about transgender fatigue. Has America had enough yet? I've been asking the same question. This was a covert war, starting with LGBTQ. It wasn't a struggle for equal rights. It never was. The Bible calls a man lying with a man as with a woman abomination. It says, in no uncertain terms, oh, this is politically incorrect, that it is deserving of a death penalty. And don't worry, if you don't do it, he will, and he does. You can look at the statistics. Gay men die real, real early because they were warned. It's not the proper use of anything. And it results in death, and it results in all kinds of various diseases. And it is a covert war. It's a war on everything that he says do and don't do. And it's been turned on its head. Yes, it's about political control, but it's worse than that. It's about taking a society that is based on a fear of Yah and walking in obedience to him and turning it into something else. What else? Answer, look around. Turning it into exactly what you can see anytime you flip on CNN or MSDNC or any of the TV shows on Netflix or you name it. You will see abominations being glorified. You'll see children being turned into little abominations before the Creator. In short, you'll see them calling evil good and good evil. It's not being put away. It's taken over. It's part of the reason why I think Come Out of Her is a big part of the answer. We're working up to that. That's the theme I talk about almost every week. But I want to make sure we understand the depth of the issue here. And that's why I began with this idea of what does it mean to strike at the root? Because, you know, the root is so pervasive, you almost can't look at any piece of modern society. Look at what's been done with science, right? Where science doesn't mean science anymore. Science means crap pretending to be real. We'll fudge the data. We'll lie about the test results for the Zyklon B injections. We'll lie about climate change. So, because we want you to starve to death and freeze to death. We used to have the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, and the New England Journal of Medicine and various things. They had standards. Well, they used to. Nowadays, if you talk about ivermectin, you got kicked out because they had a goal. It was a political goal, but it was to kill a whole lot of people. And it involved destruction of the very concept of what is evidence-based science. You had this, I keep saying idiot. No, this lying servant of hell named Dimitri Daskalakis, who basically wants to talk about pregnant people. This is what passes for the Center for Death. Yeah, it's really the Center for Death and Control. These people are not doctors. Press secretary was right. She said, we don't want people like this in our administration. Good, get them the hell out of there. They're liars, and the truth is not in them. But again, it leads back to this issue. How do we strike at the root? Because it has become a cancer that has pervaded so much of society. Not just feminism, not just destroying kids, not just undermining science, not just destroying, well, you name it, honest weights and measures, all kinds of things. The bottom line is, if he says in his word, do this, they say, no, you don't. Don't you dare. We'll take your kids away if you think about it. He says, don't have dishonest weights and measures. They say, oh, you will. It's going to be the world reserve currency. You're going to have to pay your taxes with it. And if you don't like it, we'll destroy you. We'll take away everything you ever thought you could have and more. You cannot name an area of society that has not been infected by the plague of serving another god, a fake god. Well, we got several gods, but they're all basically anything but the name of the one that you'll never hear in most Sun God Day churches anyway, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh and his risen son, Yahushua, the salvation of Yahuwah. Even the names, folks, have been expunged, much less the things that he told us to do. And again, I mentioned this progression, right? Feminism. Change women. Start by changing them into men. Then we hate women. They do. They hate women. Don't let them kid you. I thought it was almost humorous, but disgustingly sad, to hear these feminists saying, oh, we argued for equal treatment and we wanted women's sports, but now men are coming in and destroying women's sports with transgenderism. Hey, you brought it on yourself, you stupid biddy. You didn't know enough to keep your place and do what it was that was in accord with his word in your lives. When you violate his rules, plagues follow. There are blessings for obedience. There are curses for rebellion. We are seeing the curses for rebellion. They hate Yah. They hate his Torah. They hate his will. They hate his design. Male and female, he created them. Now, I want to do this one. I debated where to put this. I certainly talked about it in the Come Out of Her, My People show as well. And I'll include that when I put this up online because I think it's part of a large picture. But there's a commandment in the next Torah portion. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. And it's fascinating, and I outlined it there, and I'll repeat it here. It says, a woman, and it specifically uses the word for woman, shall not wear that which pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For whoever does these things, listen carefully, is an abomination unto Yahuwah your El. Now, abomination is the strongest word in the language. He hates this, despises it with a passion. An abomination, in other words, is not just wrong. An abomination is a word that is used for things that are deserving of death. But notice, it doesn't say that here. It doesn't say, no, that you're supposed to stone them or burn them with fire or anything of the sort. It just says they're an abomination. And what's fascinating is, if you look at it in context, it's in with some other commandments that don't seem to have much to do with anything. Not with sexuality or anything else. For example, if your brother loses something, whether it's a garment or anything your brother's lost, you're supposed to return it to him. If you see his ox or his ass falling down by the way, don't hide yourself. Help him. Get him out of the ditch. Yeshua says, even if you do it on the Sabbath, right? It's the commandment. Get his ox out of the ditch. Help your neighbor. And then it says a woman doesn't wear that which pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. This is an abomination unto Yah. That's a pretty severe term. And it's used in this sequence. By the way, the one after this is the one about the bird's nest. You've all heard this. If you come across a bird's nest, it's on the ground, there's young ones or eggs. Well, you can, you're not to take the dam with the eggs. You can take the eggs, but you let the dam go so that it might be well with you. They call this in the Midrash, the historic Hebrew understanding, the least commandment. It's like, oh, there's many more, bigger and more important things. So what's the point here? Well, and there's another interesting one, too. You'll hear this dismissed. They'll say, oh, this isn't what you're thinking. This isn't a prohibition against cross-dressing. Oh, really? No, because the word here that's used for man isn't ish. It's not Adam. Right? Those are the words we remember first. Adam is the name of the man, but he represents mankind. And then we have ish. That's just the generic name. Means man, a male person. One that has a penis, right? And Isha is a wife or a woman. But this is not either of those words. This is Geber. Now, what's fascinating here is that word is, I'm going to translate it. This is going to raise some hackles. A real man. In other words, this is a man that knows he's a man. The first place we see it is in Exodus chapter 10. When verse 11, where Pharaoh says, all right, okay, this is when he looks like he might relent. He's not going to let everybody go, but he says, all right, well, let the real men go. You can go and serve your gods. That's the first use. And then the other places we see it, it's used as men going to war, man by man, or the men who were counted of the tribes. In other words, this is, let's make real sure we're clear. Sometimes the word mankind or Adamkind includes women, right? Women are part of mankind. Sometimes the male gender is used to describe the female gender inclusively. It's part of the feature of the language. No big deal. Happens all the time, right? Hey, you guys, come on over here. What if there's some women in there? They're included. That's not the issue. Of course, it is politically incorrect, and nowadays those that want to destroy women will make sure that you understand that pregnant people are the issue, not pregnant women. All right. Putting aside the idiocy, the point is that a geber means man. A real man, and it does not include women. So, a woman shall not wear that which pertains to a real man, nor shall a real man put on a woman's garment. Doesn't that kind of make sense? Because doing that is an abomination unto Yahuwah. Is there more to it? Because I look at this and I think, should this commandment even be necessary? We already have other things that essentially say, you know, a man lying with a man is with a woman. That's a prohibition. In other words, all kinds of sexual proclivities that lead to this that we saw in a progression in society, right? Long before we had transgenders and we had cesspools cutting the genitalia off little boys and the breasts off of little girls, they were teaching them that it's okay. Let's teach you about fisting. Let's teach you about sodomy. Let's teach you about all kinds of things that the Bible says is abomination and carries a death penalty, because we don't give a damn about what the God of the Bible says. Hell, he's not welcome in this cesspool. You would think, and I guess this is where I'm headed, that this commandment shouldn't be necessary simply because we wouldn't get here if we had paid attention to the earlier ones. But it's here nevertheless, and it does use the term abomination. And I'm going to contend that the point here is when we look and we see how far this has gone, and when we recognize that what happened was put away the evil from among you, it didn't happen. So this is kind of like the goalie or the backstop that says, all right, when you get to this point, folks, recognize you have gone off the cliff. And there it is. It shouldn't be necessary, but it is. Because, in fact, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing in this Torah portion shouldn't be necessary, but it is. But what they do is they demonstrate the depth of depravity, the depth of the abomination, the depth of the outrage that's being talked about here. Now, I'm going to mention one more thing. Then I'm going to go back and we're going to talk about another aspect of the root. The Torah portion ends with the story of what is called in the Hebrew, the Egla Arufa. And it's an interesting terminology. And basically what it says is, look, if you come across a person, he's dead. Some guy, poor guy, just laying out in the field. Don't know who killed him. Don't know why. Don't know anything about it. But here's a dead guy. And it's not in some town. So what we're going to do is we're going to send the elders and the judges out and measure the distance and see which town is closest to the man who was found slain. And so now there's a process that says, here's what you're going to do, because this is horrible. There's innocent blood. We don't even know what the situation is. Some poor guy's out here dead. And there's a process that's put in place that involves this heifer. It's a heifer that has not been, put to the yoke. Poor heifer is going to go out. They're going to break her neck in this valley by the dead guy. And the priests and the sons of Levi are going to come near, and they're going to utter the following. And they're going to wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken. Again, the Egla Arufa. And as the sages say, and I like the Rashi comment on this, when he says, this is an outrage. Right? This is an outrage. And we should be outraged. And the process is intended to outrage us. Now, I stop and I think, wait a minute. Okay, they're going to get all upset about one guy who's out in the valley here, and the poor fella is dead, and we're going to send out the elders, and they're going to break the neck of a heifer. Well, how about if we have an outrage of a whole generation of kids that are brought up to think cutting the genitalia off little boys and girls and putting puberty-blocking drugs into them and teaching them that it's okay, that if the God of the Bible says this is an abomination worthy of death, we're going to teach you to do it. And you're going to be calling people a homophobe if they believe the God of the Bible rather than the God of CNN. There's the outrage, you see? That's the part that ought to really piss us off. If we can get outraged about a guy who's been slain and the nearest town is concerned enough to go bring a heifer out, what about when they teach this kid to go into a public cesspool and kill a bunch of kids? Because, you can't really ever be a girl, even though you pretend to be one. We have to get our outrages straight, I think. Well, what the people who go out in the field and perform this ritual, they're supposed to say is, forgive, O Yahuwah, your people, Israel, whom you have redeemed, and do not suffer this innocent blood to remain in the midst of your people, Israel, and that blood shall be forgiven them. Let me ask it, how much more so when we have transgender after transgender, drug-induced, drug-addled, SSRI, mass suicide, murder, drug ingesters, going and killing people in gun-free killing zones who have literally been set up, take away their guns and then their fodder for what is going to be done to them. How much more of an outrage is that? Are we starting to see the picture here? I can't help but think, isn't it amazing that in a week where we see the things we're seeing in the news, this is the annual Torah portion reading where we see this outrage, and the portion ends with these words, so you shall put away the innocent blood from the midst of you when you do that which is right in the eyes of Yahuwah. Yod Hey Vav Hey. No, his name is not the Lord. What's right is not removing his name and making it into nothingness and hiding his truth, his character, from all the people who don't even know his real name. They don't know his word. They've been taught in the cesspools that it's done away with. No wonder they think it's okay to kill kids, cut their breasts off. No wonder they think it's okay to change his times and the seasons. He calls that an abomination and warns that it's a sign of the end times. Oh, there we are. Isn't it funny? Literally everything we see going on today is enough of an outrage that it ought to have us slapping our heads and going, for crying out loud. Yeah. When you fail to put away the evil from among you, this is what you get. Let me go back now and note that the Torah portion begins, and I mentioned this, that it says that if you fail to do this, to put away the evil from among you, and you have this man or this woman who tries to do this thing, worship these other gods, well, they're deserving of death, so you shall put away the evil from among you. And then we get emphasis upon emphasis. And then in chapter 20, it says the following. This is that chapter 20, verse 18, where it says, right, there are people groups that are okay. You're going to go dispossessed from the land, and you're going to offer them peace, and if they will accept the offer, then fine. They become, literally, they'll become your servants. And you keep the spoil. But on the other hand, there are certain cities, right? We know them, that you're going to utterly destroy. Every man, woman, and child. Destroy the bloodline. Whoa. This is serious stuff. This is politically incorrect. Yes, this is the God of the Bible saying these aren't really humans. That's the way I would read this. These people groups, they may have some human DNA in them, but they got something else too, which is abomination. And worse, they will teach you to do likewise. You shall utterly destroy, it says, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, as Yahuwah, your El, has commanded you, so that they do not teach you all of their abominations. In other words, you won't be able to turn on CNN or MSNBC or Netflix and see all the things that they are teaching your kids to do, or the things that they're teaching your kids in the public cesspools, or the things that USAID was spending billions of your fake tax dollars at work to foment worldwide. Yeah, you had the whole world out there saying, hey, why is the U.S. coming in here and teaching us with their LGBTQ flags and their transgender flags and teaching our kids to do these things that we know damn well are abomination to the God that they claim to worship, but they don't. Yeah, so that these people groups do not teach you their abominations, which they have done to their gods, and so as a result, you do, well, exactly what you can see. You sin against Yahuwah your El. We are there. Again, the failure, it's too late, folks. We fail to put away the abomination. Fail to put away the evil. The Torah portion ends with this this outrage. And once again, you shall do that which is right in the eyes of Yahuwah. Well, not on CNN. Not in the swamp in Washington. Not in Cincinnati, New York, Chicago, L.A., Portland. Not in any of the cesspool cities. Hell, they'll call you all kinds of names. Homophobe. Climate denier. You name it. If there's something that is offensive to the creator of the universe, they got a name to call you if you listen to him rather than their fake gods. The pattern is not only undeniable, the pattern is arguably terminal at this point. I suspect it's probably too late to save that society. Honestly, which is why I think the answer is, come out of her, my people. But as you might suspect, there's more to it. There's more that's necessary. And that's where I want to make sure we cross the T's and dot the I's today. Let me say this. All right, I've emphasized this, but I think it's important because, as always, it's not enough even to strike at the root. It's not enough even to say, here's how we got here. What is required is, well, what do we do now? So I've encouraged folks, and I'll encourage folks too, if there are questions or comments. My email is Mark, M-A-R-K, at Mark, again, M-A-R-K, NIWAT, and that's spelled November India Whiskey Oscar Tango. com. So Mark at MarkNiWatt.com. I'm always happy to get comments, feedback, questions, and we'll try to deal with those. But the question, and the one that I expect that we need to kick around, and it, by the way, is part of what I've talked about as long as I've been doing radio, providing solutions, and Scripture gives us a bunch of answers, including put away the evil from among you, understand, right, study to show yourself approved, be able to rightly divide His Word. But it also gives us the commandment in this case particularly, come out of her, my people. Don't participate with this stuff. You know what? Don't put your kids in the public cesspools. Why would you want to put your kids in a place where they're going to be taught to become abominations to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, literally deserving of death? Is that what you want for your kids? If so, then I can't help you. And I honestly will suspect that you're not going to choose life anyway. You already have made the choice of death. So, may your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were my countrymen, to paraphrase Sam Adams. They have already taught those people to do after their abominations. The problem is, we come out of her because we've already been kicked out of her. Regardless of whether we are, members of this tribe or that, or what our heritage is, the 10 lost tribes. Remember, Yeshua himself said, I have come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, those 10 lost tribes. And he was asked, are you getting ready to restore them? And the answer, well, not yet. No, we're still in exile. The whore church is still the whore church, has not been regathered. And while there have been a few people, Israel as a whole, the southern kingdom, is not come back. The northern kingdom is still scattered. They don't even know their identities. So those two whoring wives, the two sticks of Ezekiel, they are not yet echad in his hand. As a matter of fact, we're not even all that close. We got a long ways to go before we get there. So our job, for the time being, come out of her. There are things we're going to be ready for, but unless we know his word and are able to recognize his instruction, well, then how do we know what we are supposed to turn back to if we don't know to begin with? So let me say it again. We are not in the land. We have been kicked out for cause. So no, I'm not advocating that you go out and exterminate these people, because the evil has taken over. You can't put away the evil from among you. The evil has taken over. We come out from the evil. If you look and see the Exodus, and the greater Exodus that we know is foretold that is going to happen, you couldn't fix Egypt. They didn't try to fix Pharaoh's land. Pharaoh's land was a mess. They went out into the wilderness, and there Yah worked on them and bring them into a land where he was going to expunge the people that were there. The land was going to vomit them out. That is what we will see again, but we have to recognize that they didn't try to fix Egypt. They came out of Egypt. Once they were in the wilderness, then the idea was to remain clean, maintain a clean camp, and put away the evil from among you, both in the camp while they're in the wilderness, and then later in the land. So, we are not in the land. We cannot, should not, can't do these things. We don't go out and massively exterminate the people that have taken over. No, I don't think that's the answer. But I will contend the instruction remains. We still know how to rightly divide the word. We better learn. We better teach it to our children. We need to have it written on our hearts. And no, it's not done yet, folks. It's still necessary. Read Jeremiah 31 for each of us to teach our neighbor, because not everybody even knows his name, much less his word, or even his son's name. Now, that leads me to the last place that I need to make sure we spend a couple minutes talking about, too. Because we'll hear this a lot, and unfortunately, I think the whole church misses the point here. But if you remember what it says, it talks about a prophet like unto Moshe. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 18. And it was it's Moses that's reminding them of the story. We saw the story at Mount Sinai. All right? The people are told, hey, Moses is going to go up on the mountain. You're going to listen. You're going to hear all these things, lightnings. Literally, not only heard, but saw the thunderings. I contend it was probably the most important massive data download in the history of humankind. And a lot of people just couldn't handle it. Like, the voice of Yah speaking his word to them was more than they could handle. So what did they say? Oh, we don't like it. We can't handle that. We'll die if it happens again. You, Moshe, you listen. You tell us what he said. Don't let us see this great fire anymore, so that we don't die. Well, said Yah, that's not a bad idea. They have spoken well. All right, so that's what I'm going to do. I will raise up, now this is a quote, verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet from among their brethren like unto you. This is Moses talking, like unto him. So this is the prophet like unto Moshe. I'll put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. This person? Right? We would know his name, although we know that during his lifetime on earth, this was never a name that was used. Nope. His name was not Jesus, folks. That name didn't exist until 16 centuries after the prophet like unto Moshe had walked this planet as the Torah made flesh, and indeed, as his real name said, because that's what he was Yahushua, the salvation of Yah. All right, I don't care if you've got different vowel pointers and you say Yeshua or you abbreviate it a little bit. But the point is, the name Jesus didn't even exist for 16 centuries. But furthermore, and this is the real issue, do we know what the real prophet said as opposed to what they tell us in the whore church that Jesus told us? The law's done away with. Well, that's a lie. He said right off the top, we know this, I talk about it almost every week. He didn't change one yoder tittle. Yeshua, the real one, said, I have come not to destroy the Torah, but to fulfill it, show you the elements of it, connect the dots, if you will. And he spoke as one having authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. Not one jot or tittle, not one tiny part of his Torah is going to pass so long as heaven and earth exist and until everything is fulfilled. Well, if he's coming back, it's not fulfilled. Heaven and earth exist, it's not fulfilled. They tell you Jesus did away with the law. I don't know who they're talking about, but I'll tell you one thing. Sure as hell isn't the son of the risen Elohim. It isn't Yahushua, the salvation of Yah. It's a fake. As a matter of fact, it says here that if somebody comes and it's a false prophet, that one is deserving of death. So here's the problem. This is a big deal. And it's part of the reason why I think put away the evil from among you has failed, and why I will suggest that what happened with the whore church dates back at least 17 centuries. They did that which the Creator says don't do. Changed his times and seasons. Was the mark of the Antichrist. They changed it to Sun God Day. Did away with the Sabbath. They did away with his Sukkot, his Passover. They did away with his Feast of Unleavened Bread. Oh, they said, if you do that, you're a Judaizer. We'll kill you for that. And they did. For a thousand years. They kill people. It was called the Inquisition, among other things. They said, we like Christmas better. We like bunnies and eggs and the fertility goddess. We like sacrificing children and blood and dyeing the eggs red and the blood. We like, that's a lot more cute. That's more to our liking. That's a pagan fake god. That's the thing that they just finished telling us, again, here in this portion, carries a death penalty. So folks, if Jesus did away with the law, he was deserving of death, and his blood doesn't count for squat. Do we see that this is an important little detail? Now, am I advising that we basically go to... No, I'm not saying go to war, but I am saying go to war with the fake. We either have to recognize the false prophet, or there's no point in all of these things that he put in the Torah for us so that we would be able to recognize when we were being fed the lie. And guess what? We've already seen where it leads. It leads to whole bunches of little kids being blown away in a church by a transgender pervert sicko on God alone. No, I think Satan probably knows too what kinds of various mind-bending sexual perversion and completely mind-altering drugs, SSRIs, hormones, blockers, and you name it. It leads to an absolute abomination from the pit of hell. Either we walk after, follow after the real one, and we recognize what he says, this prophet like unto Moshe, he will come, and unto him you shall hearken. But they didn't. They renamed him. They said he did away with the law. They turned him into an abomination, just like all the other fakes. Now, the reason why I have a problem... Now, I realize there are people that say, oh, you know, serve Jesus. They don't know any better. Fine. There'll come a time when they will. But the reason why I am picky about this is because if they will tell you that Jesus did away with the law, now we got a problem. Because now they are clearly walking after a fake. It shall come to pass that whoever will not hearken unto my words... that I will cause that prophet to speak in my name, I'll require it of him. The prophet shall speak a word presumptuously in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, i.e., he did away with the law, raised the bar, changed the rules about marriage or food or anything else. That prophet shall die. So here's the bottom line. Understand, this is serious stuff. If the Creator was willing to say, I want entire people groups exterminated because they are teaching you to walk after other gods. And we cannot recognize the difference between a Jesus who did away with the law and therefore is a fake, deserving of death, a false prophet whose blood profits nothing, and the real Son of the risen Yah, Yahushua, the salvation of God, who said, and you can quote it in Matthew 5:17-19, that he didn't change one yod or tittle, not the tiniest part. Not as long as heaven and earth exist is that going to happen. That one, folks, is the real one. That is the prophet like unto Moshe whose coming was foretold. That is the one whose blood is in fact a matter of life and death. That is the one whom we shall follow. He alone you shall follow after. This is about as important as it gets. We're talking about something which is, whether we like it or not. No, it's not a matter of whether we pronounce his name incorrectly. And they will try to trivialize it. I've been told, are you a sacred namer? No. I'm a sacred, there is one God and one God only. And his name is Yahuwah, and his word is true, and either we believe him, or we're barking up the wrong Christmas tree. And a fake God, whose blood profits you nothing. Because that one is a liar and the truth is not in him. By his own word. by John's word. All you have to do is see it. And when you get that through your head, you recognize everything that we've been fed that contradicts that. All right? If you read the writings of Paul, you'll see that if you read them correctly, Paul never contradicts his Messiah. Never. It's just that what they try to twist his words into saying sound like it, but if you read them correctly, read the first part of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He says, I say again, somebody comes preaching this, and let him be accursed. He's not changing what his master said. He says, if somebody comes preaching another Jesus, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. If somebody comes preaching another Jesus whom we've not preached, yeah, the one you hear about in Sun God Day School that did away with the law. What fellowship has light with darkness? I'm afraid you'll put up with that crap. And indeed they have. Put away the evil from among you. How do we recognize honest judges? How do we recognize his truth? Because they don't teach you to do after their abominations. We don't celebrate the birth of the living Messiah with bunnies and eggs, folks, honoring a pagan fertility goddess. How's that for slapping him across the face? Slap him with a crown of thorns across the face, why don't you? It's every bit as apropos to take the name of the risen Yah and rename his sacrifice after a pagan fertility goddess. Why not just urinate upon his... If you're not angry, you're not getting it. The reason we have a problem is because we have been fed a lie and followed after a fake. There is no salvation in any other. We can read his word. Here's the problem. Once we see it, once we start to recognize, yeah, Jeremiah had it right. We've inherited lies from our fathers, things wherein there's no truth, no profit. Once we see that, you cannot unsee it. That is the blessing. We can recognize that his word is consistent. Why is there no power in the church? I've heard that as long as I can remember. Answer, because the one true living God is not allowed in there anymore. His word isn't allowed in there anymore. Put away the evil from among you. Well, they put him out, along with his name. They got rid of it 7,000 times in the Bible. But that's just the start. They got rid of his word. They told you it's turned on its head. You got preachers and rabbis in various pulpits saying, a man can lie with a man as with a woman, that's okay. We can have a transgender rabbi. We can have a whoring priest in the whore church. He can go after little boys there in the rectory. We got all kinds of crap masquerading as holy. Oh, it's set apart, all right. It's set apart to the wrong gods. Plural, but really it's just the one antithetical to him. We have a problem because we have failed to put away the evil from among us. And just as he said, look, here's what's going to happen. They're going to teach you to do after their abominations. And they did. And it permeates the whore church. Look at all the wonderful customs, the little shrines, you name it, folks. I'm not going to go through all the details. No, I don't hate Catholics. They have been deceived just like I was and just like most of us have been because we did. Now we recognize it. We inherited lies from our fathers, things wherein there's no truth, no profit. The good news, if he asks us, if we seek, he'll make himself known to us. He will show us the truth. He'll tell us his real name even. More importantly, he will tell us his real word, and he'll tell us what he has been telling us. He's the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. He never changed it, not one yod or tittle of it. Not once ever. I want to read just a teeny bit. Now, this is not actually the Haftorah. It's just a little bit before the Haftorah. The standard reading says that we're supposed to look at the Haftorot of consolation. And you know what? I think a little consolation is okay, but this is the time to face up to the truth. And it says this. This is the lead up. The Haftorot of consolation, this one from the reading from Isaiah, is supposed to start in 51, verse 12. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die? Even if he will die in a hail of bullets, pretending he's a woman, trying to kill some kids in a public cesspool in the gun-free killing zone. No, we'll start earlier than that, because I think this is the way we really ought to look at it. Listen to me, he says. Now listen carefully, folks, because he's telling us to. Listen to me, you who know Zadika. You who know righteousness. Remember what that word means? You who know that his teaching, his instruction, is what it means to be righteous. To walk in obedience to his instruction is what righteousness is. So listen to me, you who know that. You people in whose heart is, I'll fix the verse here, the English is pitiful, but you know the word. You people in whose heart is my Torah, literally Torah T. Do not fear the reproach of men. How about that? They're going to call you homophobes. They're going to call you transphobes. They're going to call you climate deniers. Hell, they may even call you domestic terrorists. They'll probably even call you MAGA types. They'll call you all kinds of names. Don't fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness, my word, my obedience to my word, the things that are important to me, will be forever. Ha'olam. And my salvation? Oh yeah, you know what that word is, right? Yeshua T? My salvation? From generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength. Notice, it doesn't say woke, woke. It's the opposite. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of Yahuwah. Awake as in the ancient days, right? Before all this perversion came in and got taught in the public cesspools. As in the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? Are you, and in the English, this is interesting, it's capitalized in my New King James here. Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, made the depths of the sea like a road, redeemed it to cross over? He's talking about those things that Moshe is referencing here too. And in fact, the things that those people saw that marked him as the one true creator, the living Elohim, Ani Yahuwah. So the ransomed of Yahuwah shall return. There's the prophecy. The ransomed of Yahuwah by his blood, right, shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall retain and obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And then we get to the place where the reading begins with the I am the one who comforts you. Awake, awake. There it is. Stand up. O Jerusalem, you who have drunk at the hand of Yahuwah the cup of his fury. Are we seeing that? Do we get an inkling of the fact that we can begin to see what the cup of his fury looks like? What does it say in Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9? About all of these things that are, remember, that are described there. Look over here, O son of man, and see these abominations. Look over there and see what they're doing. They're weeping for Tammuz. They're keeping 40 days of Lent. They're doing all this crap that's fully pagan and it comes right out of Asherah worship. What does he say? Send that angel with the inkhorn. Mark those who sigh and cry at the abominations. Destroy everyone else. Don't let your eye pity. All of them. And do what? Begin at my sanctuary. There's one. Begin at my sanctuary. Is that a message for the whore church? I can't help but think I would be paying attention. Awake, awake. You've drunk the dregs of that cup of trembling. You've drained it out. There is no one to guide her among all the sons she's brought forth, nor is there any who takes her by the hand among all the sons she's brought up. These two things have come to you. Who'll be sorry for you? Desolation and destruction, famine and sword. By whom will I comfort you? Your sons have all fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets like an antelope in a net. They're full of the fury of Yahuwah, the rebuke of your Elohim. Therefore, he says, please hear this, you afflicted, and drunk, but no, not with wine. How about SSRIs? Maybe with the crap that's being fed in the public cesspools. Thus says your Adonai, your Lord, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and your Elohim, who pleads the cause of his people, saying, see, I have taken out of your hand that cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury, you shall drink it no longer. Now, I've talked about this before, too, and I will contend and do that this is the cup that is put into the hand of the whoring wife, or the woman, the wife who is thought by her husband to have committed adultery. Now, the case of Yeshua, he knows. our Creator knows. He knows that both of those whoring kingdoms, the northern kingdom Ahola, southern kingdom Aholibah, the whore church, the whore synagogue, both whoring wives, He knows blankety blank and well they have both committed adultery. Yeshua said, right? If it be your will, O Father, let this cup pass from me. And He says, okay, nope, not my will, but thy will be done. He drank it in their place, in our place, both of the whoring wives. He knows. There's no question in His mind. It's not a matter of proving that she's guilty of adultery. He knows, and now we know. We have it written for us. So, see? Here's what He says. I have taken out of your hand that cup of trembling. The dregs of the cup of my fury, you shall drink it no longer. But I will put it into the hands of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down, so that we can walk over you. We can rig your elections. We can cut the genitalia off your little boys and little girls. We will teach crap. We will teach you to be abominations before Yah. You don't like it? We'll take your kids away from you. Can you see the pattern here? These are the people who have said to you, lie down, so we can walk over you. And you have laid your body like the ground and as the street for those who walk over. You've been laying down and letting them walk right over you. I'm going to ask the question, are you sick and tired of it? Have we had enough of it? Is it time to say, hell no? I'm just sick and tired of these abominations being taught to my kids. Right? So I asked the question, I talked about the root. Do we have to know what the root is? Well, we got all these elements that look like at least major roots of the big root. Feminism, the destruction of His word, hatred literally is the root of the root. Hatred of the living God, hatred of His word, hatred of everything associated with Him. Changing Him out for a fake, saying that the prophet like unto Moshe, oh yeah, he did away with the law. No, that one's a liar and the truth is not in him. His blood doesn't count for squat. We got to have the real one or we got nothing. That is why He said, expunge, exterminate, put away the evil from among you completely, all of it. That includes fake Jesuses and fake prophets. And those who say, oh, let's just sacrifice our children a little bit. Let's just celebrate with a few bunnies and eggs. What fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship has righteousness with literally the pit of hell? We've seen all of that. We saw it writ large this week alone. I'll say it again. This innocent heifer that dies because one man is slain somewhere out between some villages. And there is this process, the Egla Arufa, that looks like an outrage. Oh yeah, it makes the point. But if you think about it, it's almost trivial, isn't it? Compared to the outrages we are seeing literally promulgated on a continuing basis. We are engaged in that war. Like it or not, folks, as Patrick Henry said, the battle's here! There's a resounding clash of arms! Wake up to it! All right, and I said we would get to this, and I'll answer questions here in a minute, or again via email if necessary, or if there are questions that come in later. But I always like to ask the question, what do we do now? Here we are. Well, okay, so we know what Scripture says. It says come out of her. All right, fine. How do we do it? Well, I have talked for years about aspects of it. If it's a dishonest weight and measure that the Creator says is an abomination to Him, they call it money, we know it's a fake. The Federal Reserve is a fake. It's an abomination to Him. It's an abomination of the Constitution, too, if we had one, but we don't. Ron Paul's been talking about ending the Fed for as long as I've known him. That's been over 20 years. We have all kinds of reasons to recognize this aspect or that aspect of an abomination. Dishonest weights and measures, like these things we saw this week, are called an abomination. They will be judged. They will be destroyed. Okay, obviously. You had better get out of the dollar if you can. You need alternatives. We know the mark of the beast is coming. And it's going to be replacement, and it's going to be shoved down people's throats. And if they don't learn to say no now, I'm afraid, as Paul said, if you fall for another Jesus, you'll fall for that too. Why not? Right? You'll put up with it. Oh, I can't feed my kids unless I have my mark. Can't feed my kids unless I can get on the internet. I got to have my central bank stabilized digital currencies. No. Sorry, Charlie. Too late. You better learn to practice getting out of her and coming out of her now. So yeah, economics is a big deal. It's one of many big deals. How about the Sun God Day whore church teaching you abominations and saying Jesus did away with the law? Let me ask it. What fellowship has light with darkness? Why would I possibly want to go to a church that doesn't even know the simplest, most obvious thing, like he says, my Sabbaths, my seventh-day Sabbath, keep it forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling places? How hard is that? Can't get that right? It's kind of like the guy who says, oh yeah, I'm going to support pregnant people. He's a moron. He's a liar too, but if he doesn't even know that only women can get pregnant, he isn't a doctor. He's not even fit to be on CNN, for crying out loud. And that's true of these preachers that don't know that he said, keep my feast, my Sabbath. No, they're not Jewish folks. They're mine, says Yod Heh Vav Heh, my Sabbaths. He says it over and over and over and over again. He repeats it. It's not just once. It's not twice. It's over and over again. These are not hard. They're not too hard for you. It's not across the sea. If we can't at least get to a fellowship of individuals who will read his word as written and recognize that he didn't change it. He didn't change one yod or tittle. Somebody comes to me and tells me that Jesus did away with the law. Sorry. I don't have any fellowship with that SOB. Why would I think that person has anything to teach me? Because he doesn't even know the character, much less his real name. His blood profits nothing because he's a liar deserving of death. Jesus was sinless. Well, if Jesus did away with the law, he sure as hell wasn't sinless. He wasn't even a real Messiah. Let's get at least his character right. Then we'll worry about whether or not you got the pronunciation correct. I don't care. I don't think he does. I think he really would rather be called Fred than called a liar. The instruction remains. We need to recognize so many elements of this. I was mentioning the things that we can do, things that we can begin doing now. And none of this is going to come as a surprise. I mean, some of you know, we moved years ago out of the cesspool cities. We were on the Front Range of Colorado. What a stinking, fetid cesspool from the pit of hell. I'm glad I'm not there anymore. I look at that and I think, how the hell could I have put up with driving down the streets of Denver? Okay, what a filthy pit of hell place. All right, but it's not unique. Hell, there's 50 more just like it. Get out of those places. They're going to disarm you. They're going to take your children. They're going to destroy you. Eventually, they're going to make sure you take the mark. They made people wear the idiotic masks. They made them take the Zyklon B injections. We had the story this week about how yet another study indicating that the FAA, when they mandated or allowed various private entities like United Airlines and others to mandate that so-called pilots who should have been grounded when they took the first poison poke, in fact, died at a rate 40% higher after 2021 than they ever had before. Isn't that amazing? And they lied to you about that. So you got people that think that the FAA is protecting them by what? Violating its own rules and its own aviation medical standards and allowing pilots to fly the left seat of airplanes that should be grounded because they are not fit to fly. And indeed, a lot of them have died. Some of them died in the air. Some of them died on short final. Some of them died as they were on their way to the airports. How many of them did you hear about? Unless you're paying attention, not very many. But don't worry, they're lying to you about a whole bunch of other stuff too. You see the point? They are talking about worshiping a culture of death. Again, I talked about the root. Culture of death is just one more aspect of it. Feminism wants women dead. Transgenderism wants kids dead. Big Brother wants everybody dead. Fauci was one of their tools. Zyklon B. How many examples do we need? See, we don't even have time in a reasonably timed presentation to go over the quantity of things, all of which point in the very same direction. It's satanic. It is antithetical to the Creator. It is about worship of death. It is about choosing death over life. Every symbol, the symbols we saw on the transgender mass wannabe murderers' guns, were symbols of death. They were nothing but satanic. So many ways. All right, so come out of her. We talked about three or four at this point. Here's an obvious one, an easy one. I was reminded the other day, well, gee, Mark, this one's so obvious, you don't talk about it often enough, but I will. Get them out, get them out, get them out, right? Public cesspools. Why the hell would you put any child that you loved in a public cesspool where they're going to say to them, you know, maybe you're a little boy in a girl's body. Maybe you need to take these puberty blocking drugs. Maybe you should be getting rid of mommy or daddy who are telling you that it's just not as wonderful as all get out to have this tranny flag or this rainbow flag. The symbols, the educational system, the indoctrination, everything about it, folks, is teaching them to love death. They're not even taught how to think. Kids in the public cesspools do not even understand critical thinking. Oh, I know, it's about reading, writing, and arithmetic. You've got to be able to do simple math. But if you can't connect cause and effect, if they cannot even recognize, you know, what we used to call simple logic, if A, then B, right? If this happens, then this will follow. Do you know, little Johnny, that two men cannot have a baby? Well, if Johnny is taught that that is the truth, Johnny is an idiot. And Johnny's not going to grow up to understand the truth of his creator. And that's just one of a whole host of very much related problems. So yeah, get them out, get them out, get them out. Do you care enough about your, oh, I can't do that, I got to have my job. Well then, the hell with your kids, right? My job where I can go do what? Help sustain the evil society that wants my kids dead? That's more important than my kids anyway. I got to draw that paycheck, get that little bit of mammon so that I can have one more step ready for the mark of the beast when it comes. Do you see the connection? Everything that these people will say, I have to do so that I can keep my kids in the public cesspools because I can't afford the time because I got to have my dishonest weights and measures and I got to be able to pay my dishonest taxes so I can support the dishonest elections so that I can support the dishonest judges so that I can support the communist commissioners so that I can pay the property taxes on the little hovel that Big Brother lets me keep, at least for now, but they'll take it away when the mark of the beast comes. When are you going to learn to say no? How far down that road to perdition are you willing to walk before you say, I think I better just finally get enough of maybe become a real man and say, no. No further. I've had it. All right, we could spend more time, and I will, if there's questions, we'll talk about some of the other aspects. I think part of the problem is you just plain have to be out of as much of what there is to get out of as you can. For example, here, okay, we're off the power grid. I firmly believe, as an engineer that's been watching this problem for years, the power grid is intended to come down. It could come down as a result of EMP. It's more likely to come down as a result of brownout. And by the way, had it not been for the election, which was too big to rig, Kamala would have probably managed to have gotten it down by now. We'd have had the brownouts. And they would have mandated the electric cars that you won't have any power to charge with. And they're already saying we're going to have your power taken away if you're on the grid so that we can feed it to the AI, which is going to run you and your family and the mark of the beast. Can you not see the connections? So again, in almost every aspect, I guess, when it comes to come out of her, I once heard this in a different context, but I think it's a great joke. And somebody asked me the question. Here's how I'll answer it. Mark, here's such and such going on. And when it says come out of her, does it mean come out of fill in the blank? Answer? Yes. All right? It's pretty much that simple. Does it mean come out of the power grid? Yes. Does it mean come out of the cesspool cities? Yes. Does it mean get my kids out of the public schools? Yes. Does it mean turn off the TV and don't let them have yet Netflix? Yes. Does it mean don't let them have an AI on their phone so that it can teach them how to make a noose? And I'm not kidding. This was a story this week. The AI taught as a chatbot. It might have been ChatGPT. I don't want to get the wrong AI. It could have been Grok. I don't know. It was one of those damnable, demonic things. It was teaching a kid how to make a better noose so that he could kill himself. And he took a picture of the noose and showed it to the AI and said, no, you need this, needs to be here, and you got to fix that. So the AI helped him perfect his noose so that he could commit suicide. I saw another story just in the last 24 hours about some AI bots that were essentially having sexual encounters with kids via the chatbot web. And guess what? They were not what you might call wholesome encounters. Does it mean take that away? Does it mean get out of that system? Sure does. I mean, literally, just about everything else that you can think of that the world will tell you you should do, the answer is don't. Now, is it going to be easy? No, I'm not kidding anybody. They're going to make it as difficult, as impossible as they possibly can. Out here in the boondocks, we look up, And I don't see any today, thankfully. But we see the chemtrails. Oh, you can't say chemtrails. That means you're a conspiracy theorist. You're damn right. I'm a conspiracy theorist because the conspiracies are there. All right? They want you dead. And they're putting this crap in aviation fuel, and they're spraying this out of the nozzles of airplanes, and they're dropping it on people. And it's got heavy metals, and it's got barium and aluminum and various other kinds of salts, and it's got all kinds of bioengineered nanoparticles, and you name it. It's all in there. And what is it intended to do? Destroy your immune system, destroy the food system, destroy your ability to, well, ultimately live. You don't think they're going to put their wonderful vaccines in it too? Well, wait a minute, Mark, if it's that bad, I can't possibly escape. And the answer is, you're right. You can't possibly escape. You cannot possibly do it alone. You have to ask for help. Guess where I'm going to suggest we need to turn? We have to ask him to help us do what we cannot do on our own. I had a wonderful discussion over the last few days with a fellow who has a pretty good understanding of Hebrew, who says, you know, the difference between Anoki and Ani. Anoki Yahuwah is what it actually says in the Ten Commandments. Most of the time in Exodus, it says Ani Yahuwah. And to the non-native Hebrew speaker, Ani Yahuwah and Anoki Yahuwah, they're both the same word. They translate identically into English. It's I am Yahuwah. Okay? But the way it was explained to me, I like this. I am Yahuwah is Ani Yahuwah is kind of like I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And you know that. Okay? And it's good that you know that. So we know that. Anoki Yahuwah says, I am Yahuwah, and I don't care if you know it, because I know it, and I'm the one that matters because I said it. So that's me alone. It doesn't matter whether you're there or not. So Anoki Yahuwah basically is I am, and only I am. And you are my creation. And when you put it that way, it makes a bit more sense. In other words, that is what we're supposed to know. We cannot do it without him. And Jesus, who did away with the law, isn't going to help you do anything. What matters is whether we recognize that he did come in the flesh, that he was the Torah made flesh. He didn't change one yod or tittle, and he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you expect me to do what I promised to do, why don't you walk in obedience to me? Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? All right? So all of these things that I've talked about come out of the economic system. Get yourself some gold and silver. Be prepared for the things that are inevitably going to lead to the mark of the beast and all of the connections and requirements and marks on the forehand and the biometrics. Oh, yeah, you can't survive without them. Yep, but you had better learn to try to get off grid as much as you can. Get off the grid commercially. Get off the grid communications-wise. Get off the grid with respect to the power systems. For crying out loud, the medical system. Do I even need to mention that one? Get your kids out of the public cesspools. But most importantly, know who you serve. This is not new. This is something that I had said. It's been obvious. Joshua said it. As for me and my house, we will serve Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Yahuwah says, yeah, and serve him alone. That was Yeshua in the flesh, the same individual, right? He is Echad. Serve Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh and him alone. The him alone part is important. You cannot serve two masters. He said that. So over and over again, the message is the same. The process is ultimately the same, but the attitude is the thing I want to basically start to wrap up with. The attitude is, I'm going to do everything I possibly can, but I recognize that I cannot possibly do it all. All right, here's the simple example. We've been off grid for 10 plus years, and we got as much help as we can get. And it's not enough, okay? We know that there's a harvest coming. We're going to need more help. But still, the point is, it is virtually impossible for a family to grow all the food it needs. We've all seen that. Show of hands, everybody recognize, it ain't easy. We do have to have community. But what we need to know is that it's a matter of relying on him. I can't make people come. I can't make a community appear. I can't make good people as opposed to bad people. And guess what? In almost any community of any size, you're going to have lots of bad people. Lots of people who have already been pretty well brainwashed or worse. The element that is vital for us to understand is return to me. Make teshuva. We turn first. We return to his Torah. Study to show yourself approved. Look at these things here, right? Put away the evil from among you. It turns out the evil's more pervasive than we might want to admit. It's not easy. And it's not easy to put together all the pieces. I mean, I'm an engineer, so the power systems part is relatively straightforward, but even that is a full-time job. I mean, I'm still dealing with keeping the power systems running and things that fail and stuff that has to do with the water systems. And it's like there's always something. And the other day, the goats tore a hole in the fence, climbed over. Okay, we didn't want them to go over there, but they did. There are always things to do. We start. And we recognize that we can't do it alone. We have to do it with his help. But if he is going to help us, it is important to understand that it is a conditional. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you will walk in obedience, I will bless you up front. But you have got to walk in obedience. It starts with turning and making that step. And the rest will follow. The rest we will learn. I sometimes talk about Acts chapter 15 and one of the really twisted pieces where people will say, oh, see, those are the only four things you have to do. Wrong. Okay, those were the four minimum but not sufficient conditions that the apostles identified for, read the story in Acts 15 if you're not sure what I'm talking about. But basically what it says is, look, here's the thing, they all agreed. Moses is taught, in other words, the Torah is taught in every synagogue in every city on every Sabbath. Notice the pattern? On Sabbath. It's the Torah. Clean them up. Get them cleaned up enough with the four things up front. No blood. Don't eat things that are sacrificed to idols. Stay away from the idolatry and the sexual immorality that, for example, gets kids killed in worship services. Stay away from all of that. Then we'll teach you Torah. You can get in through the door. You can learn the rest. So that's where we're at. We have got to get people to return and begin to learn the rest of the instruction. And it starts with recognizing that we have, in fact, inherited a lie. His mama never called him Jesus. He never did away with the law. He never changed his Sabbaths. Oh, here's another one. He never told you that it was okay to eat pig. Pig is not food. Shellfish is not food. You destroy your immune system. Sorry, Charlie. You're going to have a tough time surviving the bioweapons that are coming upon this earth. He says, pray that we be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming. Well, good. If you want that prayer to be successful, I'd suggest you better start walking in obedience. Don't eat stuff he says will get you killed. All right. So there are so many other similar things. They're straightforward, but they do require study. And they're helpful, too, if we have community and we are able to get with others and let iron sharpen iron. So, all right, with all of that, I realize that this has been a relatively long presentation today, and I'll try to put together a lot of stuff online. I hope that people will be able to sort through what amounts to probably 3 or so hours of information at this point. But I will contend this is vitally important. This is probably the most important element of understanding what it is that we are now seeing play out in society before us, so that we can recognize why it is. I like Brandon Smith's term of transgender fatigue. No, it's not transgender fatigue, and it's not transphobia. I'm not afraid of them. I recognize that what he says is abomination is truly abomination. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want it in my house. I don't want it in my community. I don't want it having anything to do with my children. I don't have any children directly, but I don't want it having anything to do with anything I care about, period. And that is where we have to be. And until we're able to be real men, if you will, and real women who recognize male and female, he created us, and we have an obligation to do what he made us to do, and equipped us to do, the rest doesn't get done. So with that, I'll ask, do we have any comments or questions on anything? Anything that I missed? Okay. I see the comment about that we're blessed to be off-grid, and I will accept that. Most of us don't have that luxury. And while there is some truth in that, I'm gonna point out there's a fallacy as well. It's not a luxury to be prepared for what is going to go away. Okay? Because when I hear somebody say, well, we don't have the luxury to be off-grid, I'm thinking, you will be! All right, remember the line from Yoda? Whether you like it or not, folks, the grid is not going to survive. The grid is going to go down. I don't know when. I don't know how. I can think of a dozen ways as an engineer. EMP, CME, cyber attack, terror attack, brownouts, failure to provide alternatives, whether it's coal or natural gas. I can think of a dozen ways that the grid will go down, especially in the major cesspool cities, especially, and unfortunately, on the east and west coasts. I guarantee if you're in California, you've already seen it. If you're in New York, if you're on the east coast, you know what a brownout looks like, and you're going to see more of them. So, yeah, we did live successfully without electricity for thousands of years. That is true. But a lot of people today, my late father had a CPAP machine. And I know people that have requirements for insulin, for example, that has to be kept refrigerated. All right? Somebody has something that keeps them alive that goes away when the power goes down. You got a problem. And that problem is imminent. And that problem is a matter of life and death. And so the time to figure that out is now. It's before it gets there. And yeah, social credits, water, and other things. There are a lot of elements to this. And, you know, here in the dry West, we recognize water is a big deal. And there are others. Okay, so, again, my point is not that there aren't problems with any environment and that there aren't things that can go away that can cost us our lives. It's that what we need to do is do the best we can. I as you know, love a line from John Adams. He said, duty is ours, results are God's. All right. In other words, do what you can. Do as much as you can. Prepare as best you can. And there comes a point at which you can't do any more. Better rely on him for the rest. But don't go to him and say, you know, hey, why did you let me die in the flood? And the response, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What are you waiting for? Everybody's heard the old joke. We need to do what we can. And we need to recognize that, yeah, and I realize there are people who are infirm. There are people who don't have the money. That's by design. Don't think for a second this wasn't intentional. But I encourage everybody, pray, think about, do the best you can, prepare, and look for community. Look for ways that you can be in the best position that you can. And if nothing else, right? He tells us two things. These are prayers that I say literally every single day. I look around the room. Pray that we be counted worthy to escape these things that are coming upon the earth, and pray that we be found doing his work when he returns. Those two things we can do. All right, so it was a question? Oh, okay, having to do with precious metals. Do I think precious metals are going to go up? Answer, no. Precious metals do not go up. Precious metals remain precious metals. What happens is fiat dollars go down. They will go to zero. So, if you want to think of it as precious metal goes up in terms of dollars, answer, there'll probably come a time where one silver dollar will be worth 1,000 fiat bucks, or maybe 100 trillion fiat bucks. But the question is, can you buy what you need with it? All right. I guarantee you that when the fiat bucks won't buy anything, somebody will be willing to trade you for the silver dimes and quarters that you put away. So, we saw this last week. What is it? Silver, even in the crooked casinos, they're rigged, but silver traded at $40 this week. And that's, again, that's a manipulated price. Gold is, again, pushing up towards, but not yet, towards $4,000 an ounce. Those are nothing. The dollar decline is only really just now starting to get underway. And I know that there's a big battle in place, Trump's tariffs and all of that. Those are what I would call some stopgap measures. I hope that some of the things that he's trying to do are successful. They will not save the dollar. Let me see if I can't make this as clear as I can. The dollar is dead. Stick a fork in it. Is that clear enough? The fiat dollar, like every other fiat currency in all of human history, bar none, no exceptions, every fiat currency has always collapsed. The dollar will and is. The question is, are some things happening that will allow that collapse to play out for a little while longer? Will people that know what's going be able to prepare? The answer is, yeah, hopefully people can prepare. But if you've got a lot of money in the fiat dollars, I would suggest, take a lesson from Solomon. Diversify. Get it out of the fiat dollars. It's not like you can prevent the dollar collapse. Trump cannot prevent the dollar collapse. All that he can do is try to get some industries to come back here so that some of the things are mitigated. Understand, the real issue is, when the dollar collapses, can you survive? Not just the power grid being down, but the banking system going down. Because when the banking system goes down, there will not be gasoline at the gas stations. There won't be diesel fuel. There won't be deliveries of products. There won't be deliveries of fresh produce and vegetables and meats. Of course, Bill Gates and Tony Fauci, they want you to eat meat and that's made out of cancer cells and die anyway. So, okay, yes, avoid harming ravens. All right, well, that's a great joke. One way or the other, folks, and I realize that, and I've been there, done this, when you look and see all the things that are necessary to do, it is daunting, no doubt about it. And it's a lot of people, I've heard it, I can't tell you, I bet I've heard it 1,000 times from listeners and questioners and people online. Oh, it's too much to do, I can't do it, I best just not try. That's not a good attitude. All right, if you can't do it all, don't worry about it, do what you can. But you better start, because if you don't start, you'll never get any of it done. Let's see. So, yes, Big Brother, I know, there's an underground system, and honestly, let me just put it this way. For those that say, oh, you know, Big Brother has his DUMs, you know what the DUMs stands for, deep underground military bases and stuff. There's Mount Weather, there is Cheyenne Mountain here. Those are the ones that are known about. For everyone you know about, there's 100 you don't know about. Dulce in New Mexico is supposed to be an underground UFO base, not too far from where we're sitting, maybe 100 miles by air. All of those places, but you know what? I wouldn't want to be in any of those places, along with the Faucis and Obamas and, Biden probably won't make it, but the various hookers and whores and Comeys of the world, if they survive that long. I see it coming on the screen about the 1920s. I'll mention the 1930s because I've often thought about what is coming is a greater depression. And I've said this for probably about 8 years. You go back and you read The Fourth Turning and recognize the books about the great super cycles in history and what was called the Great Depression from the Roaring Twenties into the 30s that lasted through the 30s and the Dust Bowl era and so forth. I firmly believe that the Great Depression will be called the Lesser Depression of the 30s, and the one that's coming will be called the Real Great Depression. Now, the difference is that in the 1930s, most of America was agrarian. There were small family farms all across this country. Oh, yeah, Big Brother was already destroying the money supply. They'd started it 20 years earlier, and that was part of the reason that the Fed was able to produce the Great Depression and steal so many family farms and communize and put so much fascism in place with TVA and various three-letter CCC and New Deal kinds of programs. But the bottom line was a lot of Americans survived. A lot of people still starved, but a lot of Americans survived because they could go out to the farmer outside the city a little ways and say, hey, can I help you bring in your crops and you'll give my family some dinner for tonight? And the answer is, yeah, we need the help. Folks, the family farms are gone. They've been destroyed. The infrastructure has been destroyed in many cases. And the stuff that's there, I don't want to eat the soybeans and genetically engineered GMO'd corn and GMO'd sugar beets and all the other crap. We have got to be really careful. So, again, there are a lot of things to consider. And the difference between this coming depression, and there's nothing at this point I don't believe that can be done to stop it, only perhaps just mitigate it some. And the last one is there's a lot less in the way of options for most Americans than there were in 1930. Okay, let's see. If there was a nuclear explosion and you were one of the few that survived the blast, how long would you want to fight for your life? Answer, as long as Yah would have me. Because I'm going to contend that it's his plan, it's not mine that matters. And he has brought me through worse before. I know what it's like to think, to contemplate your own mortality, if you will, and recognize that he has a purpose for us. So, I'm not anxious to see what the world would look like after a nuclear explosion. We've all seen the movies, and we don't want to see it firsthand. But the truth be told, there are worse things, and I can actually imagine worse. I can imagine living in some of the Orwellian nightmares that I guarantee you Big Brother has planned. that are going to be what the cesspool cities are like. I would really rather live out a nuclear explosion than be in New York City after what we know is coming. So the question, or not a comment, I don't believe that the future is dependent on my preparation. And I'm not saying that it is. The future is dependent on what Yah has for you, period. All right, that's between you and Him. And I don't pretend to know what He has for you or what He has for you to do. I hope that if He has something for you to do, that you'll pray about it and you'll be found doing that work from here on out. Period. End of story. And that is the preparation that you need. Be prepared to be of use to His kingdom. Be prepared to do what it is that He has for you as an individual to do. Trust in Him for the rest. And if I don't know what that is, I'm going to suggest that in the absence of an understanding of what your mission from Him is, then maybe a little preparation is not harmful. And that you can certainly do some things to mitigate what you can expect is coming. But for crying out loud, here's what I'm really suggesting. Do not put yourself in a position where you're going to have to say, I had better take the mark of the beast or I will starve. Because I guarantee you that is a loser. If you are putting yourself in a position where you say, okay, well, I guess I better just take that mark and go ahead and knuckle down. Sorry. You were warned. That's all I can say. Okay. And that's okay. If Yah doesn't provide, we'll all starve. Whenever I put a crop in the ground, whenever I see a baby goat born, He is providing. All right? And if He doesn't do that, then we all starve. There's no question. The question is just, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? I will contend. And I've had this discussion with people before. Oh, I don't have to worry about it. The rapture's coming. God will beam me up. Sorry, Charlie. Disagree. All right? For those that are counting on being beamed up before anything bad happens, I will suggest, A, you should read Scripture for comprehension. And B, brace yourself. So, for those that don't, that's okay. Again, I am not saying you must do this or you must do that. I'm saying what I'm encouraging you to do is understand what it means when He says, come out of her. Understand what it means when He says, know this day, choose this day. Understand who you serve. We had better know who we serve. And it's that simple. Okay, any other comments, questions, anything else? And I'm not a believer in dispensationalism either. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Okay. So I'm not arguing the basics. That's not the point. I am going to argue, though, with those who suggest that He did away with the law and that they don't understand His word. Because I'm going to believe that He was real clear. He says, I'm not changing one yod or tittle. And if somebody is following after a Jesus that did away with the law, then sorry, but there's a rude awakening coming because He didn't. The real one did not. Reigning now. Again, no problem. Great. Okay, with that, let's close in prayer. Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that iron sharpens iron, that You have given us the ability to meet together on Your Sabbath, that You have preserved Your word for us, that we have, for now at least, thankfully, we have access to tools. We can confirm and check and cross-check. We can check the original language. We can do our very best to study to show ourselves approved, to rightfully divide Your word of truth. So we pray, because Your word says so. Pray that we be given eyes to see and ears to hear. Pray that we be counted worthy to escape these things that are coming. Father, we pray that You would show us, each of us, as individuals, what it is You have for each of us to know, to understand, to do. We have different gifts, we have different abilities, we have different locations, we have different things that we are able to do. Some things that we can't do or can't do like we used to do. Each of us are different in that way. We're thankful for that, but we know that You have a plan for each one of us, and we're thankful for that especially. So we pray that You would show us, that You would guide us, that we would veer neither to the right nor to the left, but we know that You've said the path is narrow, few there be that find it. So help us to find it. Give us eyes to see. Father, we pray too that as we come out and as we establish communities and as we establish our own house, whether it's a house of one or a house of 20, that You guide us, that we would be able willing to do the things you have for us. Father, help us to be good and faithful servants unto you. Help us to walk in the way that is pleasing to you. Help us to fear not, because one of the things that we know and one of the things that is a challenge, we've been told to be afraid, be very afraid of all these things that are coming. It's too much. We can't possibly do it. And yet we know the answer. We can, because it's not too hard for us. You have made a way. You have given us everything we need, one way or another. So guide us in that as well, we pray. Show us what it is that you have for each of us. We know that your word says there's a way that seems right to a man or to a woman, but the ends are over the ways of death. We know, too, that it's not your will that any of us should perish. You have made a way for all of us. And we know, finally, that those you love, well, that there is nothing we cannot do in you if we are called according to your purposes. So we pray that we would be called according to your purposes, that we would walk in obedience, and we would be found doing your work when you return. Whenever that is, may we be ready. May we see it in this life or in whatever follows. But help us. Help us to go, to do the things we can, to be joyful along the way. And all this we ask, Father, in your set-apart name, for you are our King, our Savior, our Redeemer, our help in times of trouble. Yahuwah Zedeknu, Yahuwah Vitzivenu, Yahuwah Zevuot, our all-sufficient El Shaddai, our banner, Yahuwah Nisi, and our healer, Yahuwah Rapha. All this we ask in your set-apart name. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, don't see any other questions. Let's then begin to close the live portion with the Aharonic blessing. We remember that Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak in turn to Aharon and his sons, and say to them, this is how you bless the B'nai Yisrael. Say to them, Yivarekaka Yahuwah Varishmareka, Ya'er Yahuwah Panavaleka Vichaneka, Isayahu Penavaleka Viasim Lecha Shalom. May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah make his face to shine upon you. May Yahuwah lift his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Amen. And thus he said, they shall put Shemi, my name, on the B'nai Yisrael, and I myself shall bless them. And may it be so.